Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 23rd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 66, the third paragraph that begins with, "We turned back to the list," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Naomi B., who will be reading the 12 steps, and Joanne L. will be reading the 12 traditions. The readers of our text are Mo H., Shelley E., and Dion R. The share ID for Tuesday, June 22nd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,198. That's 17198. This morning's Wednesday, June 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 17,207. That's 17207. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Naomi B. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Naomi.
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. 1. We admit we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admit it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Naomi B. And Joanne L., if you'd read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everybody on the line. My name is Joanne L. I am from Rhode Island, and I am recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name. to any related facility or outside enterprise. Least problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, a public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you, Joanna. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 66, the third paragraph that begins with, we turned back to the list, and read and comment on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Mo H. If you could get us started, please.
Yes. Good morning, Kathleen, and all those on the line and all those giving service. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict in Walnut Creek, California. We turned back the list to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill us, to kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. Oh, they're all really good paragraphs. Again, my name is Mo H., and I'm from Walnut Creek, California. So here Bill is slowly working us through the fourth step, which is the beginning of cleaning out the closet, dusting, getting rid of all the cobwebs. So he tells us here to turn back to the list, for it held the key to the future. The future, that's our future life in this program. And one of the things about step four is it's not about doing it right. It's just about doing it. So put pen to paper and just do it. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. That's where moving forward. We're going to look at this list and the harms and how it affected us from a different angle. And the different angle is going to be that last column of where am I being selfish, resentful, self-seeking, and fearful. So resentments are about, is another word for I don't forgive you. And not forgiving is lethal. So by looking at it from a different angle and, you know, carrying the resentment inside of me is not helping me at all. And looking at it from a different angle is going to allow me, along with the help of my higher power, to look at it from a different angle and to release it. In the old days for myself, I used to hang on to resentments for a long time, you know, sometimes years. And it's ridiculous, the pain that I lived in being in my resentment. And today, as I work my 10 steps, I look at resentments all the time. Yesterday, I was at the Apple store. I just needed a battery for my phone. And of course, with COVID, you have to make an appointment. The first time I made an appointment, it was with the wrong department. So I had to go out and make an appointment on another day. And then yesterday when I went, you know, I thought they'd just take my phone, put a battery in it, and give it back to me. No, like an hour and a half later, I got my phone back. And I had a resentment about that. And I just, while I was sitting there waiting, I just kept connecting with God. That is one of the things I do today when I notice I'm off the beam or off balance, that, you know, it's not going to serve me. I need to be connected to my higher power. The resentment's not going to serve me. I got my phone. It has a new battery. I'm very grateful. And yes, it did take time. And yes, my lunch was extremely late. But guess what? I got through the day without having to eat over it. And that's how we work our resentments. Turning back. So this is a results paragraph. And, you know, he's going to teach us how to work through our resentments and get onto the other side. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Mo H. Okay, we're on page 66, the third paragraph. We turn back to the list. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Stephen G.
Stephen G.
Kathy Z.
Kathy Z.
Cynthia C.
Evan R.
Amy M. C.
Laura R. Cynthia
okay,
C.
Okay, hold on. Go ahead and stop right there, just a second. So I got Stephen G., Kathy, what was your first initial?
Kathy Z.
Okay, I'll get it late. Z.
Z.
Okay, and I got.
Thank you.
I got Cynthia C. And Evan, what was your initial?
Evan R.
R. Okay, and then two other names came in with Evan.
Amy M C.
Amy M C.
And Laura R.
Laura R. Okay, great. That's a
and
great
Kathy,
lineup. Carrie, thank you.
Carrie W.
Carrie W.
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay, let's stop there. So I have Stephen G, Kathy Z, Cynthia C, Evan R, Amy M C, Laura R, and Carrie W. Okay, go ahead, please, Stephen G.
Hi, good morning. This is Stephen G from I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Thank you for your service this morning. So the book has taught me so far that I have this permanent, progressive, fatal disease, and lack of power is my problem. And so I have to access power with a capital P as fast as I can. And it's also telling me now that resentment is blocking me from this power. And I need to look at these resentments and see them from a different angle. And if I can do that, then I can access what it says, the key to the future, because going forward in life, I'm going to continue to have to be exposed to people, places, and things which may produce resentments. And if I can't see them from a different angle going forward, then basically I'm going to die. And when I looked at my fourth step, I was stunned by the number of resentments I had. And I always thought it was them that was the problem. And then I always thought what they did to me was the problem. But when I put it through the steps and through the four columns, what I began to see is that it really wasn't the people, places, and things. It really wasn't what they did to me, because there were other people in the world who could have those same things happen to them and weren't particularly bothered. But the reason I was bothered is because some of my basic instinct of self were completely out of whack, particularly self-esteem and security. And in order to protect myself, I'd created this extremely self-centered, self-seeking, dishonest, and frightened perspective on life, which became the filter through which I saw everything. And that made me resentful, and that blocked me off from my higher power. And when I saw this in the end, I was stunned by it. But to be able to see it now was the beginning of the process of a spiritual experience and having access to that higher power, which ultimately solved my problem. Because before it was the external world, now I could see that I was the problem. And that really was the beginning of recovery. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Stephen G. from Canada. Kathy Z., you are up, followed by Cynthia C. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, everyone. This is Kathy Z. from Washington State. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Kathleen O., for your service and everyone on the line. I'm really grateful that that I came to this program and that that I've worked the steps the first time through, but I'm also even more grateful that I've chosen the 12-step way of life. You know, I believe that there is a power greater than myself that will restore me to sanity. And I'm a recovered food addict, but I am not recovered from my mental obsessions. And so I have this tool in doing these 4 steps that I can do over and over again, and then 10 steps and release them and then serve others. But the old recovered, non-recovered person is still there and still gets in the way. You know, like last night I was very angry over something. I was angry over how other people were not working with my mom. And I was very upset about it. And I just thought, how can I do this list when it's not my fault? It's not my mom's fault. And then the recovered person came through, God came through and said, just do it anyway. See what I have to say. See what's in your writing. See where the resentments fall. See where your anger falls. See where your selfishness and your fear fall. So I was able to do that last night, and God just really revealed so much to me and also helped me see how I could be of service even though I felt that I was wronged. Like, how can I do your will in this situation, God? So by doing this work repetitively when I am upset in any way, God just continues to strengthen me and teach me, and then it makes the next situation that comes up just a little bit easier to get through. And I know that I don't have to go to the food, and I don't have to go to my anger and frustration and hide in a box. I can go to God, and He can heal me through this work. And I'm so very, very grateful for that. And I just wish everyone a beautiful, abstinent day. God bless you all.
Thank you, Kathy Z. in Washington. And Cynthia C., you are up, followed by Evan R. Good morning, Cynthia.
Thank you so much, moderator, for your service and everybody for making this meeting happen today and every day. This is Cynthia C., normally from Newton, Massachusetts, and today in Fryeburg, Maine, on vacation with my family. This is so perfect for me to read. I'm just so incredibly grateful to be on the line and to be able to share and be heard and connect in. You know, going on vacation with my family is not so easy. And you know, and my resentments are building up, and I just, and like more quickly, like, you know, I guess, you know, the longer I'm in recovery, the stronger my disease gets. And so, you know, I basically work the 4th step every day when I do my, own 11 step inventory, and certainly when I do 10 steps, and I've been so caught up with my family and getting us packed up and getting us out, and getting us, you know, away on vacation and getting caught up in all the, you know, issues or problems that we've had around the vacation and around problems with the rental house and with my kids and my husband. And I let down my guard in terms of doing my 11-step and 10-step work, and lack of privacy. And, you know, and my resentments towards my family members grew very quickly, like crazy, crazy how quickly my resentments developed and how quickly my food then, I'm talking about just a few days not doing my full 11-step prayer meditation and inventory in the morning. And within a few days, just my food already started to get messy. And my family members are all, you know, into their food addiction and into their compulsive overeating and watching them gain a lot of weight. And, you know, and my weight hasn't been great over COVID, just the change in exercise and a change, you know, just there was a lot of changes and things. And I'm feeling hurt and I'm feeling exhausted and I'm burnt out. And it's so quick that my resentments came up. And I'm so grateful that I could recognize, I could see my food getting messy. I could see it happening and I could say, okay, this isn't working for me. And I was able to dive back into the step work and into doing my inventories and into looking, you know, what are my resentments and into doing 10 steps where I'm working the fourth step on a daily basis and looking at where are my resentments and where am I selfish? Where am I being dishonest? Where am I being self-seeking? And not in a way that beats up on myself and says that I'm a horrible person and not taking a hammer to my head, but to just say what is working and what is not working. And there's a lot that feels very quickly that it's not working in my life because I'm caught up in that deep self-pity and I can't see anyone. I can't see or be there for anyone when I'm just feeling bad about myself. And the fact is I can't change my family. I can't rescue them from their food addiction. I can't do anything for anyone else if I'm not cleaning up my side of the street, if I'm not taking care of myself. And I can't take care of myself if I'm filled with resentment. So I'm just so grateful to be here, and I'm just in listening to all of you. With that, I pass. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Cynthia C. in Massachusetts. Evan R., good morning. You're up, followed by Amy M.C.
Hi, good morning. Evan R. here, Southern California.
Definitely grateful for this meeting. I do listen quite often this year, every so often, but I don't mean that in a glib way. I really am. This is a life-changing meeting for me. But this, in terms of resentments, I have this resentment that I didn't quite realize. I mean, I've known about it for a long time, but I haven't really addressed it. I've just sort of been neglecting it. And it has a lot to do with body image. And my sponsee just finished this step, and we've been talking a lot about body image. And that's something I have struggled with since I was little, 9, 10 years old. And my resentment, sure, myself, that I've always known that, but it's towards other people. And I realized that my relentless scrutiny of other people's bodies plagues me in a way that is unhealthy. And it talk about the buildup of human emotions. And I think before I had talked briefly about, you know, confessing other sins. Actually, I think that's the 12th step. But like looking at other people's inventories, and I didn't think it was a resentment because it didn't make me angry, but I realized it has a primary emotion of disgust. And it's very, very just centered in low self-esteem. And I've been aware of this, but I've been neglecting it. And all of a sudden it's starting to leak out now that my recovery is propelled forward. So it's kind of this lurking issue. And I think the real problem with me, and it kind of goes in this, is I can't just wish it away, but also I didn't necessarily want to get rid of it. And I don't think it's that I don't want to get rid of it. I just don't know how to live without it. And, you know, my entire life has been, you know, the fear of being fat or being overweight or looking any way, shape, or form that wouldn't be perfect, which is never achievable and has equated to a lot of pain in my own life. And I don't know. I'm not there to get rid of that yet, but I definitely want to get rid of the judgment of others, as that's a very toxic way of thought. It's very embarrassing to admit it openly that that's how I think. So I'm working on that. And I realized this is kind of my process. And I'll end with this is, you know, I had to pray for the willingness. I think you guys have heard that. But at this level, I'm like praying for the willingness to even be willing, because it's like a very, 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 very deep rooted and cemented way of mindset. So it's like a heavy four step, like a deep, deep four step that I'm working on. So if anyone has any experience with that, I would love to hear from them. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan R. in California. And Amy M.C., it is your turn, followed by Laura R. Good morning, Amy.
Hi, this is Amy M.C., recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Thank you, moderator, for your service and everyone on the line as well. I really want to zone in on like the second and third sentence here. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see the world and its people really dominated us. Actually, the next one too, in that state, the wrongdoings of others, fancied or real, had a power to actually kill. And in my experience, this, you know, looking at my part here, and as it was already said, taking a look at that last column and really identifying how, you know, how I set the ball rolling and, you know, what my part was in these resentments. And then being able to look at it from the entirely different angle. So for me, it's the idea of like, you know, doing a turnaround and not only going through the fourth step and the fifth step, but actually going back and making my list and being willing to make those amends and then making those amends. It's been so freeing and so relieving to see my part and see these character defects and the consistency where, you know, I acted out of these fancied or real thoughts that came to my mind. You know, a lot of what I identified in my most recent fourth step was this idea of like life being like a soap opera, you know, so everything, the world and its people dominating me. And then the dialogue I had in my head over, you know, the scene that was playing in front of me and just how disturbing and how unrealistic it all was and how, you know, as it's said in the book, my magnifying mind really, really is the problem here, you know, and that's where I need the adjustment. So it's going through the process. It's sharing it, you know, not only with God, and another fellow, but then really doing the work and praying for us. It was just said, the willingness to be willing sometime and being able to take a look at those character defects. And again, them being fancied or real, like what am I telling myself about the situation? What's the story I'm playing out? And then how I'm reacting to it. So whether it's a resentment, whether it's a fear, which most of my resentments stemmed fears as well, or whether it's getting angry or disturbed over something, but it's then what do I do with it? Instead of going to the food, how am I reacting to life? And for me today, it is living in 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, really 10th steps are just, they keep me so current and so honest. And, you know, just a shout out to the 10th step train because, you know, it's been a lifesaver for me in the idea that every day having a committed time to speak with another fellow, and this is our goal, it's to share a resentment, it's to share a fear, it's to share gratitudes if nothing's coming up. And most recently, you know, I was looking at my tens, and sometimes it's just easier to do gratitudes, right? Thank you. It's easier to do gratitudes and think of the positive and not always deal for me to deal with those resentments. But it was recently brought to my attention, you know, old resentments too, or things that still fester. And when I really take a deep look, I still have a lot of these underlying resentments that still, you know, act in some kind of disturbance. So I have to continue to be honest. I have to continue to do the work. And so I just encourage everybody out there to, you know, continue working the steps and one day at a time, just being relieved of the obsession of the mind. So with that, I pass and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Amy MC in Massachusetts. And Laura R., it is your turn, followed by Carrie W. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Thank you so much for moderating today. And this is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful. If we turn back to the list, for it held the key to the future. Praise God. As far as I have ever gotten was pointing the finger at you and your issues and what's wrong with you and how, you know, what you're doing to affect my life. And I never had this gift that I was to look at myself. You know, what a concept. You know, we're now prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. Oh my gosh, like herein lies the freedom. And it says that it's the key to the future. Because again, if I'm only looking at what's wrong with you, then you need to change in order for me to be okay. But what I could do is look at me and then I can change. And it's so funny, you know, it's been shared as just the delusion and the denial and just the lies that I was living in for so long, ever since I was honestly a little girl. I wasn't looking through the right pair of glasses. I was looking through a lens of self, you know, what I wanted, what you weren't doing for me, really fear-based my whole life. And it actually started like snowballing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger as I started to age. You know, I was just even thinking 7 years into my sobriety, way before I ever entered into OA, not even close to being ready for that. I literally was holed up in my apartment. I was so afraid to walk out the door, and I was sober, but I really wasn't recovered. You know, I was deathly afraid of being in public, what you were thinking about me. It was all about me all the time. And now what's so cool, the last time I did my 4-step just recently, you know, all these resentments that I had towards my family, I'm the stepmom, that can always get a little funky. And, you know, to really look at like, wow, I expect you to do these things to make me feel better. And my sponsor made me aware of like, what about you showing up for them? What about some self-sacrifice? What about having compassion? You know, it's like, duh, you know? So I sit here, right here, like where I'm at, the first three calls, even before I get to that prayer, and I'm still pointing the finger, and it's telling me, hey, we can look at it from an entirely different angle. Praise God, I get to pray, which we're, you know, getting there tomorrow, but like I'm still in that sick place, and I need God, God, and more God. And I am so grateful, like the person just before me was sharing about the 10 steps. Oh my God, I am so grateful I have a committed 10-step time every day. And then also, you know, before my time today, I already talked to my sponsor and gave her two. Like I had some that were, you know, needed to be done from last night. And again, I know we're not on 10 steps, but anyway, you know, the wrongdoers and others fancied are real. They're honestly, they're always just really fancied. I mean, maybe they did something, I don't know. But the bottom line is I need freedom. I need peace. I need, I don't want to die. and they've literally, I would hole up in my apartment. That's where I was. You know, so scared to death because of the world and its people. And now I have a shot at living because of looking at things from an entirely different angle. And we'll get into more of that as we go in the next couple of days. But just grateful to be here. I wanted to claim my seat. So glad to be a part of this fellowship. You guys are amazing. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Laura R. in Colorado. And before I take Carrie, just a reminder, we are on page 66, the third paragraph. We turn back to the list. And I'll be taking some more names after Carrie. So go ahead, please, Carrie.
Hi, this is Terry W. from Massachusetts, and I'm a recovered anorexic and bulimic. And I thank you for your service today. And, you know, when I read this, I look at the very first sentence, we turn back to the list, for it held the key to the future. You know, I must have read this like 8 or 9 times. It means nothing at all to me. And today when I read that, you know, it does hold a key to my future, because when I have resentments, it blocks me off from the spirit of God. And, you know, I love, someone had talked about this as a results paragraph. It's exactly what it is. Because when I have resentments, I mean, I shut myself off from my higher power. And, you know, I blame everybody else. You know, I don't look at my part. I blame everybody else. I blamed my mother for I don't know how many years because I'm bulimic and anorexic because of her. So I had resentment against her for I don't know how many years, when in fact it has nothing to do with her at all. You know, I have an allergy of the body and obsession of the mind. So until I can get rid of these resentments, I will never be free to actually live a life and go forward in my life. So I find that, you know, I have so many resentments about, you know, my friends, even the supermarket, the bank. And, you know, I look at it and how much involvement I have in that when I look at my own part is huge. You know, I always blame everybody else, but look at my part. So I love doing the 10th step. You know, I do my nightly inventory. And also during the day when things come up, I do the PPP, I call it. If something comes up and I'm resentful, I pause, I ponder, and I pray. Right in that minute, I will pause. And I will ponder about what way could I think differently, or how can I think differently? How should I act differently? And I pray about it. You know, so resentments happen. Like, so this morning I gave one to my sponsor, and as they come up, I can do that PPP, pause, ponder, and pray, and I can also do my nightly review. But it's so huge for me to know that until I get rid of my resentments, I can no longer live a life of happy usefulness. So I want to thank you for letting me share, and I hope you all have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry W. from Massachusetts. Okay, I'm going to take some more names. Who else would like to share on page 66, the third paragraph, if you
Cheryl
haven't shared
F.
in the last 3 days? Is that Cheryl S?
Yes.
Veronica B.
Ronnie B.
Ronnie B.
Diane C.
Diane C.
Veronica B.
I got Veronica B.
Debbie P., Indiana.
What was your first name? Debbie?
Debbie P.
Debbie P. Okay, great. We'll stop right there. All right. I have Cheryl S., Veronica B., Ronnie B., Diane C., and Debbie P. So go ahead, please, Cheryl S.
Yes, good morning. I hope I can be heard. Yeah, this is a thank you for the meeting. First of all, I want to say that. Thank you for the shares and everyone that's here. I couldn't have done it without you. I do want to say that this paragraph really prompted me this morning. You know, I've had to detach from some of my family of origin over the years and just about completely. And as a result, I've been ostracized. And it hurt a little bit, and I felt some resentment. I was able, thank you, God, because of the steps, to reach out and send a text and say, oh, congratulations. But today, while I was listening, I was able to elaborate a little more after I read that paragraph. And I said to her, how beautiful you all are, you and your family. And I pray for you and your new husband. And just, you know, elaborated to her and without resentment. And it felt so good to reach out to her in, you know, making an amends in a sort of way that, you know, even though I detached, I'm here, I'm not going to abandon you, and it's okay because I understand. I understand why I wasn't invited to the wedding. I understand why I wasn't invited or told about the funeral. These are people, family members that I grew up with, my first cousins. And at first it was hard to understand, you know, but when we work these steps and we allow the sunlight of the spirit to dwell within, when we remove the debris and the hand of God, the powerful hand of my higher power can touch me, these are the results. I'm able to look past others and their transgressions and see my own. And then I have a better understanding of the entire situation. And that's when my life changes drastically. I'm so grateful for a vision for you, the big book, and the working of these steps. Thank you all so very much, I pass.
And thank you, Cheryl S. And Veronica B., good morning. You're up, followed by Ronnie B.
Good morning. My name is Veronica. I'm a compulsive eater and a bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. This paragraph is perfect for someone like me, where it says, we were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. Well, I suffer from a hopeless state of mind and body. I ate and threw up for 15 years. And it was this was the only way I knew how to live. This is how I coped with my feelings. And then I came to you guys and you told me there's a different way to live, that I could be rid of that, but that I had to do some work. And I was willing to do this work because I was desperate and I wanted to change. This is why I continue to do the work. I want to continue to change, and I want to continue to deepen my connection with God. And this, where it says dominated, these people on my resentment list, you know, they dominated me. I just finished doing an inventory, and halfway through reading it, I said to myself, Jesus, I can't believe like how I give all these people this power. Because really, I'm giving them my power by letting them live in my head. And so this is where it says, like, I need to get down to the causes and conditions of my thought process. It's how I think that leads me to my actions that I take. And so I need to get down to what is the root cause for me of my thought process. How do I process my thoughts, which then lead me to actions, right? And it says we saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? Well, I've done a couple of inventories, and in the beginning, I did not like my mom. I did not like her, and I've mastered that resentment because today my mom can do no wrong in my eyes. Like today, I've accepted my mom exactly as who she is, how she is. And I love her, and I'm still working on other family members. This is why I just did another inventory. And I'm doing God's work and showing him that I'm willing, and that I'm overpaid. So thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Veronica B. in California. Ronnie B., you're up, followed by Diane C. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Thank you. Ronnie B. in Missouri, gratefully recovering in this program, and yet have recovered from a hopeless state of body and mind. I no longer feel hopeless at all. And 30 years in the program and have about 18 months of recovery, I'm hopeful is what I am. So regarding the reading, the word that came to my mind as I was listening today was open-minded. And how does this program work? Honesty, open-minded, and willingness. So to practice that principle of open-mindedness in all of my affairs, it's not always my first go-to. My first go-to is usually self-righteousness, some form of fear, retaliation, hostility, resentment. Wrap all of those up, and you just have an insane person over here waiting to explode. That's not what this reading is about. So I, too, have had not recently, they've come to a boil recently, severe issues with a member of my family who I have a pretty big piece of property, and he lives on it. Some of the things he's been doing have been beyond disparaging. It's been deceitful, wanting to bring a woman to live here from a third world country and or from Philippines. He's never met her, 30 years younger with a child, trying to go around me to get other people to help him do this. So that's enough of the story. You can fill in a whole lot of blanks and write the chapter. So I was finally brought to the place where I needed to see a lawyer because sometimes outside help is imperative. And so I did. And here's what I want to say. Evidently, whatever he has done, even above and beyond what I mentioned, it was enough for my son and a very good friend of the family to say, because of all of this, you have got to get him out. You go to a lawyer and you get him out. And somewhere between 0 and 100, and those comments being 100, and 0 is kind of what I've been doing. Like I've had wishful thinking, I will talk to him, he will understand. He's been dry for 30 years. He does not understand. He is not a bad person. The sick man's prayer applies. So I did see a lawyer, and we're probably going to halfway mark in what I'm proposing and what he agrees and what he has suggested. That's an open mind for me. Now, I don't want to say I went in there wanting to come out feeling fabulous, but I didn't because the whole thing hurts. You know, hurts that he would want to do that to me, go around me. So anyway, this is a beautiful program that gives me a lot of support as well as all of you. Thank you.
And thank you, Ronnie B. in Missouri. And Diane C., you're up, followed by Debbie P. Go ahead, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me share today. And thank you for everyone for their service and shares. I'm Diane C., and I am a compulsive overeater. from Minnesota. This is my second meeting here on this call on a Wednesday, and I walked away last week very, very positive, very energized by this meeting, to the point where I found a sponsor because I needed a sponsor, and now I don't have that sponsor. And what I want to say about that, and that has to do with resentments. I've been in the program for maybe almost 5 years, and so this sponsor asked me to do certain things, okay, and I was doing them, and it got to the point where I was being crazy with it. I felt like a gerbil on a wheel. And then I kept talking to myself, saying, Diane, you know you have a rebellious spirit, you know, especially when it comes to your addiction. Anyway, so actually what I did, but it was driving me crazy. So what I did, I sat down and I made a list of the pros and the cons. And so it ended up that the cons were more than the pros. The cons were making me crazier in my addiction, what was happening. However, this is what I want to say. Normally, I, without this program, I would be so angry with this person. I would be angry. I would be resentful. I would blame it all on her. It was her fault. And however, I was able to walk away and to actually face her. I mean, I didn't even drop it, you know, like that would be my normal MO. And I didn't. I was very upfront with it. I used my voice to say what I needed to say. And I just said that I don't think we're a good fit. I says, I am frustrated. And I believe you are frustrated also. So it ended right there, but we were able to text after and everything. But that was not me. That was my higher power helping me to see and not to just quit. And the other thing that I know, it was such a good, it was just so good because I'm abstinent. I didn't go, you know, screw the whole thing and this isn't working and I'm eating and, you know, and I didn't. I didn't. So anyway, now I'm in search of a new sponsor. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Diane C. in Minnesota. And Debbie P., we have about 2 minutes. Are you okay with a two-minute share?
Oh, yes. I can do that.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. You're welcome. This is Debbie P. From Indiana. Thank you, Team Wednesday, for all of your service today. I'm about 60 days from my last relapse, and I'm working on a fourth step. And this fourth step activity is not new to me. I've done this several times, not only in OA, but other 12-step programs. But I seem to have the same block. I don't know. I tend to get, I seem to have a block when it comes to, can I be honest? And I seem to clam up. I heard earlier, I cannot hear God if I'm blocked from God, yet I pray and pray and I still don't hear God. I have actually, it's been suggested that I sit with it as well, but I feel like I've had this for a long time and I'm ready to move on with it. And I'm just not sure how to move on, but I do know that I need to keep my reason for my sharing today was so that I didn't feel like I was the lone wolf out here just struggling, floundering, and not getting results. Please, I'll take any prayers and any suggestions. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Debbie P. in Indiana. And thank you, everyone, for your really beautiful shares this morning. We are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Shelley E., if you would please read A Vision for You.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. Good morning, fellow travelers. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Arlington, Texas, presently in Petoskey, Michigan. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.